everyone joining today, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Dr. Lara Garibe, a research fellow here at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute. I'm your host for today's episode, which marks our milestone 100th of Beats Research Radio, a YouTube channel and podcast produced by the Bioengineering and Therapeutic Solutions Lab at the Ottawa Heart Institute. Our goal at Beats Research Radio is to communicate science to the community. Our special guest today is Mr. Hashim El-Ghaili. Mr. El-Ghaili is a science communicator and video producer based in Berlin, Germany. Mr. El-Ghaili acquired his bachelor's degree in biotechnology from the University of Peshawar, Pakistan. Following that, he got his master's degree in molecular biotechnology from Jacobs University Bremen in Germany. A molecular biologist by trade, Mr. El-Ghaili uses his knowledge and passion for science to educate the public through social media and video content. In 2015, he established a science communication platform known for its high-quality content that includes simplified science videos, making science more accessible to the general public. His portfolio also includes This Week in Science series that summarizes the latest science breakthroughs. He has over 10 billion total views and over 30 million followers on his various social media platforms. We at Beats Research Radio are delighted to host Mr. El-Ghaili today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And thanks for the lovely introduction.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to have you. I like to always start by asking our guest about his career journey that contributed to setting him onto the path where he is today. Can you tell us a bit about yours?
So, I started in Yemen. I did my primary school, high school, secondary school, all of that in Yemen. And then I moved to Pakistan, where I studied biotechnology at the University of Peshawar. After that, I got a scholarship to Germany, and I came here to do my master's in molecular biotechnology at Jacobs University Bremen. And just right after finishing the master's, I focused all my efforts and moved on into science communication, which is what I do right now, basically.
Nice, very interesting. So I'm curious to know, what really motivated you or inspired you to pursue science communication as your main focus for social media use?
Well, first of all, it's my passion. I love educating and public speaking. These are two things that I love. Also, during childhood, I used to share information in children's magazines, and that was a fun thing to do, different science facts. And so when I was introduced to social media for the first time, I realized that it is a great fertile ground that can be used to educate the masses and reach a bigger audience without so much effort. And so there are other motivations. One is the spread of misinformation, and we want to tackle that by spreading authentic information that relies on authentic sources. I always rely on high quality journals to cite the information so that people can also know that this is coming from a reliable source. Besides being my passion, I love video editing. And I love also writing, and I combine these to simplify science. And not to mention that globally now everybody has access to phone and internet, and you can reach remote areas. And so what better way to do that, you know, than to actually educate them and give them interesting information?
Exactly. I'm one of your main followers on social media, and I always look forward to seeing your videos.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the support.
For sure. Can you tell us a little bit about how you choose what topics to cover week to week? And what is your process for discovering new information and converting it into effective science communication videos?
So the selection depends on a number of factors. First of all, it's something that interests me. Yeah. Second, it's something that connects with the audience, something that the audience would love to learn about. For example, let's assume I found about a new treatment, a potential treatment for cancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are a lot of people who follow me who have loved ones who could be battling cancer, and they want to know what are the new options that are being developed. Even if they're not going to be available to their loved ones, they can feel comforted that they will be available in the future. Mm-hmm. So when you touch the emotions, mm-hmm. evoke emotions, you know, these are topics that can resonate with people. And that's also one of the ways to choose topics. Another way to choose topics is to look into the analytics. Every social media platform has its own analytical tools that allow you to see what topics are being engaged with, mm-hmm. like psychology, astronomy, what topics you can omit. These are ways for you to optimize your content sharing strategy on social media. And instead of really just covering everything randomly, you know, you want to really stay focused. As for the process, we have secondary sources and primary sources. Primary sources are the research publications coming from the scientists directly. Mm-hmm. And secondary sources are press releases written by universities and published on their websites. And so I rely on these, either publications or secondary sources as press releases from the universities. If there's something that I don't understand, then go back to the original scientist who published the paper and discuss the script before it's out there until I make sure that it meets the exact idea that the scientist is trying to convey.
Thank you. You previously touched regarding the misinformation. Uh-huh. And I would like to ask you a question regarding that. So the past 2 years has put science in a uniquely challenging spot with respect to the COVID-19 pandemic, with the widespread, of course, of misinformation. So how did you navigate through that?
Well, what I did to fight misinformation back then, and by the way, we're getting new cases now, so it's not back then as it's over. No, it's still there. Okay. I was hosting scientists live, those with experience in epidemiology and pandemics and virology and immunology. And so I was hosting them. Mm-hmm. I was collecting the most frequently asked questions. I go to the comment section and I'd see which questions are being asked more frequently. And I collect them in a sheet and I go to the scientist, say, hey, let's have a live video, discuss these things, and then receive questions directly from people. That was one of the things. The other thing was always actively posting about COVID-19 from reliable sources, mm-hmm. which I mentioned earlier. It could be the primary sources or secondary sources. And third, I was publishing daily coronavirus updates. Mm-hmm. It's like the weekly science summary, but it was every day and only for coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So it was actually amazing. The response was really good. People, unfortunately, were trapped in their homes due to the lockdowns, but they always wanted to know, what is the latest treatment? What is the progress with the virus? Are there any mutations? Mm-hmm. Are there any new regulations that we should know about? When are we going to get out of these, this situation? And so all of that was covered in the daily coronavirus update. And these are some of the ways that I was tackling the spread of misinformation online.
That's very nice. As you mentioned before, all your experience till now have shown you that science communication is very important to educate the general public. Where do you see the field of science communication evolving in the future? And maybe you could share with us some of your ideas of future plans.
Where do I see it evolving? You have seen a lot of talk recently about this called the metaverse. Mm-hmm. It's the next jump in social media, which will move towards virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And so with big companies trying to jump into this, there will be a lot of people joining virtual reality. The cost of technology will go down. everybody will almost have a virtual space, which they can access through a headset. And then you can have classrooms, you can have a public speaking engagement sections, you can explore, like, you know, when we talk about astronomy, we're talking about, for example, distant planets and all that stuff. You'll be able to visit them in the virtual world. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the living cell, you could be inside the living cell along with others who are learning about it. Mm-hmm. So that's where it could be, because when you are exploring these areas with your own eyes, that makes learning more fun, mm-hmm. and the information remains in your head for a long time, so you can bring it up later on. So virtual reality is one of the ways where science communication will evolve. Mm-hmm. Second, I'd say artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Now, people have different interests. There are a lot of people who are interested in science in general, but there are also others who are interested in certain fields. Some of them are interested in astronomy. They want to learn more about that. Some of them are interested in psychology. And so the algorithm, which will be powered by artificial intelligence, it's the algorithm is the program that runs social media platforms. Mm-hmm. It will be much more intelligent, that it will customize the type of content you will see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It will be highly targeted. It's already getting there, but not quite there yet, because right now you still need humans behind these tools. But in the future, this will be innate by the machine itself. So yeah, these are the main things. I would say it will move away definitely from papers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reading books and doing all of that stuff. I mean, you can do these things online now. So that's where it's heading. If you noticed, previously, just years ago, it was mostly articles. People were reading articles, you send them a link, but now it's mostly videos. Mm-hmm. So it's science communication and media in general is a constantly evolving process. Science communication is no different. It will hit that way. And yeah, we will have to adapt to these new changes.
Mm-hmm. With the big amount of information that are available, reading articles about every single subject will be very time consuming. So this is why probably people also go towards those videos that are short and that deliver the message right away.
That's actually true. And in the end, these videos also have the links to the original citations, the original sources. If people want to learn more, they can just follow the links.
Exactly. I really enjoyed our conversation. And before we conclude our interview for today, what are words of advice that you would like to provide to others who are interested in the areas that you have pursued?
First of all, it's all about starting. Yeah. Find your passion and then start from there. If they would like to pursue it so that they can join social media and start communicating it there, they really have to find an interest that they can broadcast to others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If, and you know, this interest has to be like one of your passions, because there is a time in which you will be feeling burned out. Mm-hmm. So if you're not passionate about it, you might actually quit. Yeah. So make sure that whatever topic you choose that you want to communicate to others is something that you love and enjoy, so that every day doesn't sound like work and rather like a recreational activity. Second, learn more about new media, like how to create videos, how to edit them, creative writing is a very important thing. Get into new forms of publishing like TikTok, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. These are new places where you can reach followers who are not in your circle. So that will be very helpful. And finally, enjoy the process. Yeah. And keep an open mind as well, because as you communicate science, you'll find a lot of people who will oppose what you're saying. Don't be bothered. Focus on your mission, and that's the important part here. Yeah.
that these are words of wisdom that you just said here. This concludes our interview. Once again, I'd like to thank you for this special milestone episode, Mr. Hashim Al-Ghaili, and for the informative and fascinating talk with us regarding your science communication experience and journey. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And on behalf of our director, Emilio Alarcon, and the whole Beats Research Radio team, thank you for all tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube, Beats Research Radio, and podcast channels, and we'll see you again with another Science for the Community episode. Until then, stay safe.